The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, March 7, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the House and Senate budget committees are meeting behind closed doors, discussing, among other things, agricultural appropriations for the Farm Bill. Also, another strain of U.S. rye seed is off the market, at least for now. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will bring us the latest in agricultural weather happenings. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. March wheat, 506 up 5, May 502 and a half up 1 1/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat 466 and a half up 7, May 478 up 5, July 489 and a half up 4. March corn 415 and 3/4 up 3 1/4, May 424 and a half up 2 1/2, July 432 and 3/4 up 2, December 409 and a quarter up 2 3/4. March beans 742 3/4 up 9 3/4, May 757 1/4 up 9 1/2, July 772 3/4 up 9 3/4, November 795 1/4 up 8 3/4. March soybean meal 217.50 up $4. March soybean oil 29.85 up 40 at the Merck. March feeders 103.37 and a half unchanged. April live cattle 98.55 up 95. April lean hogs 65.67 and a half up 67 and a half on the day. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, on the opening bell practically this morning, the U.S. Energy Information Administration said for the week ending March 2, U.S. crude stocks fell unexpectedly by 4.8 million barrels of oil. That was enough to spark the market, it appeared today.
Yes, and what a way to turn a dull, dreary pre-call of lower prices into a higher price market. And with the last trade, and looks like it did close up over at least $1.13 on the last live quote we have in the marketplace. Then we also got reports that Argentina has a truck strike, and several of the international grain trading people switched Argentine origin corn shipments to the Pacific Rim to U.S. origin, and a tricky deal in the second place. In the third place, they probably moved those vessels on to load soybeans and are going to load corn out of the U.S. East Coast or Gulf markets, and that also helped firm U.S. values in Chicago. The other factor is, of course, is that the Argentine people are wanting to slow export values down a little bit because there's election down there, and high-priced meat and high-priced corn affects some of the bottom line and some of the food prices down there. The second thing, of course, is president's going to leave Andrews Air Force Base tomorrow and Air Force One and fly to Brazil, and the topic of conversation, of course, is better relations with one of the world's largest trading partners, Brazil, about ethanol and at least putting a world standard on it, and I thought that was a big topic in background news is today.
That was a lot of fundamental background news to go over just then. As you add it up, does it all add by the end of the week to a higher high?
Well, it's kind of, in my opinion, things were dull and depressed, and we needed some better action. And of course, I think we got the news today to give us that better action because of the higher energy prices. There is talk of a bigger carryover, and there are people out here that are trying to scare the market with larger corn acreage out here to also scare the marketplace a little bit. We spent a little bit of time talking to our friends in the Mid-South, and with the higher fertilizer prices and also $8 soybeans, we really don't see the massive rush to plant more corn down in those areas, mainly because a lot of the fixed cost of fertilizer and the $8 cash soybean price. We are also interested to note that on B6 in the Wall Street Journal, they talked about farmland values and farmland sales, and they quoted Champaign's Westchester Group of talking about some pretty firm farmland prices, and we are picking that up as well. So there's a lot of interest in farming in mid-Illinois, but at the same time, it's got to be profitable for the farmer and everyone concerned, and it does look like we'll have a good year based on today's prices.
You have any farmland quotes off the Winchester stuff?
Well, we did have a sale near Oakland, Illinois, about 20 miles straight west of here yesterday, about $5,700. But, that's the closest quote that I really am aware of. But they did talk about prices moving higher in the Midwest.
Turn your attention back to the soybeans for a moment. I also heard rumors that China might have picked up on 4 to 5 cargoes of beans today.
Yes, and a couple of reasons here is, of course, ours are available, and maybe they had freight booked here and things like that. But I would imagine that their economy is very strong. They are putting out press releases, both India and China, about their India, for example, a good wheat crop, and China, a good corn crop. There is jawboning out there to keep, I think, commodity prices in check, but also one way to keep them in check is have an available supply of soybean inventory available to slow the prices down over there.
Another interesting story out of China today is that evidently the PRC is going to have a trial planting in the Philippines to see whether or not they can grow a decent crop there to help China's ever-increasing need for corn and corn products, because a lot of analysts, Paul, think that China's going to be a net importer of corn this year.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? that's what we've been keeping our fingers crossed for at least 10 years, at least thinking that would happen to help our export market. And one of the things that Dan Bassey mentioned at our Outlook meeting at Covington is that their industrial usage of corn, they're not exactly sure if it's starch, sugar, or ethanol, but we do know their industrial usage of corn is tremendous. We know that their caloric uptake, both veggie oil and meat products, are tremendous. And their standard of living, everybody wants a car, and when you buy a car or a motorbike or anything, it takes energy, and that helps really propel them into the 2000 era. It's just like what the U.S. economy wants, better food and good quality living standards.
Turn your attention to the end of the week, please, Paul. We have the WASI report out. The numbers are not really all that much of a mover from last month, and most of the trade doesn't expect much out of this report. If there were to be a surprise, or might
well,
it be?
There is talk about a slightly larger corn carryover number, and I think the number that we were talking about this morning was 765 versus the last government report of 752, with 8.7 million more acres of corn for next year, the government's talking about a carryover at least 100 million bushels less this coming year than this year. And, you know, one can equate to some, I would say, some positive price action based on at least a 650 carryover next year. So the marketplace has a lot to absorb. The weather seems to be slightly warmer and drier over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. So that should encourage at least some spring planting in certain areas.
All right. Take off your speculator hat, put on your hedger hat for a moment, and let me ask you whether Dean's corn at 409 and a quarter is worth sales in your book.
Yeah. You know, my opinion is that $4 new crop corn does have some price value, and a person can do some things modestly there, as well as $8 new crop beans. I think ADM Investors has 10% of their corn crop sold at both of those levels, and that's historically some very good prices. The thing that we've noticed that in any of the commodity meetings we have is that there's not much interest in protecting any upside price movements at those levels, but I do think in the next 60 to 90 days, we will see prices even higher than that.
Thanks, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight. He says clear to partly cloudy, lows ranging from around 10 degrees in far northern Illinois to around 30 in the far south. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, with highs ranging from 33 to 53. Tomorrow, wind speeds around the two-state region from 5 to 10 miles per hour. And dry weather is expected in most areas by Friday. And although showers may enter western Illinois during the afternoon, scattered showers will arrive Friday night and continue through the weekend. On Saturday and Sunday, the showers are expected to be most numerous in southern sections and just spotty farther north. Scattered showers may linger into Monday. And warmer air expected next week with temperatures ranging from the 50s in the north to the 60s in the south. In agricultural news, members of the House and Senate budget committees are holding closed-door meetings this week to prepare preliminary spending limits for fiscal year 2008. Last week, the House and Senate agricultural committees submitted letters requesting increased spending for the Farm Program Safety Net, renewable energy, conservation programs, and food stamps. Sources say members of the congressional budget committees are sympathetic to some of the requests, but the agricultural committees will not be receiving all the money they want to write the next farm bill. The University of Missouri and Iowa State University think tank projects corn to ethanol use this year at 3.1 billion bushels. The Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute projects corn plantings at 86.7 million acres versus USDA's latest projection of 87 million acres. That would be 8.4 million more corn acres than a year ago. FRAPI spokesperson Pat Westhoff.
If you look at 2007-2008, again, we're using about 3.16 billion bushels of corn to produce ethanol. Our U.S. production of corn in 2007 is projected to be 12.15 billion bushels. So it is roughly the one-fourth that you cited in USDA's figures for 2007. By the time you get to 2009, on the other hand, we're over 4 billion bushels out of total production by that year of 12.97. So it's not quite a third, but it is over 30% by the time you get to 2009.
FRAPI says, as USDA did last week, that if tax credits expire, biofuels production, corn and soy oil demand, and crop prices could be sharply lower. Alternatively, if corn prices get too high or oil prices too low, that could remove profits from ethanol plants. Again, Pat Westhoff.
Once we get past 4 billion bushels of use of corn for ethanol, we kind of level off at that point. What's happening is that the net returns to ethanol productions are being squeezed from both sides. The higher corn prices mean it costs more to produce ethanol, and with more ethanol being produced and a little bit of a drop in oil prices perhaps in front of us, that means that the price people can get for selling ethanol is coming down. So the net of those two is that what have been very good margins for ethanol producers in, over the last couple of years shrink to much narrower margin in front of us.
The FRAPI estimate put soybean acres at 70.5 million, in line with USDA's estimate from last week. The FRAPI baseline assumes normal weather patterns and continuation of current biofuel initiatives. FRAPI predicted the demand for corn stocks for fuel will reduce cash receipts for cattle sales by about $2.8 billion over the next 3 years. CONAB predicted yesterday that Brazilian corn exports could hit a record 7.5 million metric tons if U.S. corn exports fall. At USDA's Ag Outlook Forum last week, the government estimated U.S. corn exports at 1.9 billion bushels this year, down from 2.25 billion a year ago. Brazil exported 3.8 million metric tons of corn in 2006. Meanwhile, China says it has initiated a trial program to grow corn in the Philippines to help supply the PRC's growing industrial and feed corn needs. China will plant just over 133,000 hectares of corn in the Philippines this year. Many analysts are predicting that China will become a net importer of corn this growing season. Southern U.S. rice farmers are having problems finding enough seed now that another variety of long grain rice has come under question due to possible biotech cross-contamination. Tests are showing that Clearfield CL-131 seeds may be contaminated. USDA has put a hold on Clearfield CL-131, preventing seed dealers from selling it and producers from planting it. Arkansas rice seedman Marty Eaton says growers can expect a price increase for replacement seed if they can find it.
You take Chenier out of the picture, which is contaminated. That was a big player as far as acres. You take CL-131 out, that's another big player. That puts a lot of pressure on the other varieties, the Trinosas and Banks and Cybonnets and Wells and Francis and Cocodrees and stuff that we still had to sell. The seedsmen grew a lot of Chenier, anticipating it being a big variety, which it was. Everyone was cutting back on their CL-161 production and ramping up their CL-131 production. So everybody had a lot more 131 than they did 161. 131 was a newer variety, supposed to be a little better, and everybody was pumping up to 131. Well, you take the Chenier and the 131 out of the picture, and now people are scrambling to find enough Wells and Cocodrie and Francis to plant. And, of course, the seed price is going up every day, just anticipating the 131 being killed.
Last year, producers in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi planted 561,000 acres of Clearfield seed. Mexico says it will join Canada's World Trade Organization complaint against U.S. corn subsidies if a formal investigation is ordered. The complaint, currently supported by the European Union, Australia, Argentina, and Brazil, is in a consultation period. And Japan's Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries has expanded its inspection of processed meat products from the U.S. Now, all shipments will be subject to having samples checked, instead of the current 30% or so. The ministry made the move after a shipment of a banned processed beef product from the U.S. reached Japan in late February. The ministry is demanding the U.S. look into the cause of the incident. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. We know managing your farm operation is time-consuming, and sometimes you miss hearing our agricultural programming. But now you can get AM 580 Ag delivered daily directly to your computer. You'll never miss a broadcast of the opening and closing market reports and Commodity Week again. Subscribing is easy. We've put instructions on our website at willag.org. It's quick and easy, and you'll always be informed with timely market analysis. Drop by our website today, willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILO is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I guess the question is, are you seeing very many cash sales these days, or are producers looking for more than $8 for their beans and $5 for their corn?
Well, they're hoping for that. I don't know if they're going to hold out for that or not, but people are pretty content to wait it out now. They know there's going to be some ups and downs, but as Dan Bassey said at the WILL Outlook meeting, the long term certainly looks friendly, so I think people are willing to try to ride this out, try to ride the ups and downs out a little bit and wait and see, you know, how many acres we plant, number one, what kind of start we get off to the growing season, number two, before they really decide to panic and let loose. But I think most of them are, you know, feel like they're going to be content to wait it out and see what happens. They feel like there's probably still more upside than downside at this point.
You're taking in a number of hedge-to-arrive contracts, I take it?
Yeah, the weather after a terrible start to February, where the farmers just physically couldn't haul in anything, the weather's straightened up this week, and it's actually been very busy this week as far as truck traffic is concerned. People are delivering their February and March contracts, and then we're seeing a little bit of selling as well just across the scale because corn is over $4 and beans are over $7. So some farmers are taking advantage of that, but I still think they're holding on to a good chunk of it yet, too.
A nuts and bolts question, if I may. I guess farmers started selling corn for $3 for fall delivery, 2007 fall delivery, but then elevators have to do something with that corn, so you hedge the corn on the board, right?
That is correct.
And now corn is at $4. That means that someone's paying that margin. That would be the elevator?
Unfortunately, that would be us. Yes, Dave.
So how does the elevator, in your case, the Andersons, begin to recoup some of that?
Well, some of that is we're just not going to make as much. We try to figure some of that in. We also hope that the markets will go down so that we can get some of that margin money back that we sent up to Chicago. And the third thing we did is we did raise the hedge to arrive fees for people that do want to sell corn way out ahead. It's just going to cost more to maintain those hedges. So in the past, we charged 1 cent a bushel, and now we're charging 3 cents a bushel to maintain those hedges, which, you know, it's going to cost us $7, so it's still not covering the full cost to carry for the whole year, but it covers a little bit more of it, and it's still cheaper than I think what farmers can do elsewhere, especially if you figure that they would have to put up the initial margin and maintenance margins. So, we're going to increase the fees until the prices go back down a little bit.
Gaze into your crystal ball with me for a moment, and let me ask you this. If there's a bullish surprise on the planting intentions report, what do you think the basis will do in the 30 days following?
If there's a bullish surprise, that would mean we're not planting as much corn as what we're anticipating. If that really is believed, basis level should get better over time. Now, in the first 30 days, if it's a bullish surprise and the market goes up 50 cents, farmers probably will reward that market by selling. And so in the very short run, basis levels may get actually weaker if we see a big run-up in the futures price. Over time, if we really are planting less acres, then the basis should get better.
Prices today, sir?
Cash corn finishes at $4.06, new crop corn $3.87, cash beans $7.21, new crop $7.73, and cash wheat $4.24, new crop $4.59.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. And in just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Rob Blagojevich says Illinois is facing a simple choice. He says the state can let the pension challenge worsen, or it can have corporations pay what the governor calls their fair share. Illinois would see the largest tax increase in its history under the budget plan Blagojevich is proposing today. He's suggesting Illinois lease the state lottery to a private contractor and borrow billions of dollars in a bid to solve the state's most pressing financial problem, pension systems that soak up more and more of Illinois' tax money. Business groups are already organizing to oppose Blagojevich's call for $7 billion in new corporate taxes. The biggest tax would apply to all business transactions from auto sales to medical care. A University of Illinois administrator says three significant projects on the Urbana campus are on a list of capital projects the governor's office is endorsing. The list includes $55 million to renovate the aging Lincoln Hall lecture facility on the Quad. But that project has made it to many priority lists in the past without getting funding other than for planning. U of I Vice President Randy Kanga says the lobbying effort to get the projects funded this year is already beginning. A U.S. Olympic Committee inspection team has begun its exploration of Chicago with a stop at McCormick Place. The convention center would host fencing, table tennis, rhythmic gymnastics, and judo competitions if Chicago is picked to win the 2016 Summer Olympics. Before boarding a bus for their tour of suggested venues, the 11-member inspection team passed by a heckler who told USOC officials that the games would displace the poor. The U.S. Olympic Committee will decide in April whether Chicago or Los Angeles will get to make a bid. Officials visited L.A. last week. The International Olympic Committee won't select a host city until 2009. Former United Nations Weapons Inspector Hans Blix is slated to give a lecture in Carbondale at Southern Illinois University. His topic is disarming Iraq. Blix will discuss the events and inspection efforts leading to the 2003 war. And a Southern Illinois man says his electric bill has increased nearly 200%, and he's come up with a way to show Ameren that he's not happy about it. Robert Hancock of Carterville says he'll pay the $526 bill in pennies, 52,662 pennies to be exact. Hancock says the $50 cost of delivering the pennies will be worth it to him. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, as we're speaking, is it raining still down in Argentina?
Well, it is. A new round of thunderstorms is going on just now and going to intensify this afternoon, continuing through tomorrow. This is going to add more pain and suffering to the producers down there. They're concerned about the ongoing decline in sunseed quality that's going on across some of that production area. Most of the production area has not really been hurt in a significant manner, but there is a slowdown in crop maturation and harvest progress in some of those provinces across there, and it looks like that trend is going to continue, obviously, for another several days. Now, next week, we'll see a little less precipitation occur across most of Argentina. In fact, we'll probably get into a fairly decent drying trend, but it probably won't get under full swing until about a week from now. And then that second week of the two-week outlook looks to be more promising for a better environment for firming up the soil. And it's going to take a good week to 10 days of net drying to get them back on track. It is very wet across Argentina right now.
What about Brazil? Net drying is needed there, too. Are they going to see some of that?
Yeah, actually, Brazil has been drying already for about a week to 10 days, and we are seeing a general improving trend across that production area. The odds are pretty good that this will last on into next week. It is still raining on a daily basis in portions of the country, but these are brief showers now. They last for probably less than an hour, and they produce usually less than about a half inch of moisture, and they come and go and leave us with a lot of sunshine in between. So the end result here is a much better environment for field work to advance across Brazil, and we've already seen a nice increase in progress across the country with that soybean harvesting moving ahead of schedule. I should point out, too, that the harvest pace back in Argentina is getting to the point where it's a little bit behind normal. It's still early in the season there, but we do need to see that drier weather evolve back there.
Let's turn our attention to the U.S. Midwest, where it appears over the next week or so it will be drier than it has been. But the question, of course, on all of our producers' minds is, are we going to begin to trend to a drier position or not?
Well, I think the best answer for that is that we will, but we're going to see a big interruption to that drying bias. The second week of the two-week forecast right now is suggesting a more frequent frontal passage pattern across the area that will set off light periods of rain on a more frequent basis. So whatever drying we manage to muscle up here over the next 7 days is probably going to be lost to an increased precipitation pattern in the second week of the two-week outlook. We'll probably see a little bit drier weather again later in the month, and then we'll swing back the other direction. And when we do swing back to the wet side again, it may last a little bit longer. I am concerned about the month of April having a little bit of a wetter bias. In fact, six out of seven of the past years in which we moved from an El Nino to a La Nina generated above average precipitation in at least a portion of the Midwest. And it doesn't mean we're going to see that this time around, but the odds are certainly stacked in favor of a wetter bias in April.
Thank you much, Drew.
Well, have a good day.
Drew Leonard, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. This is Dave Dickey.